Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation down south of the 12th Hour, Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is July 22nd, 2016, or it is 8-19-2020. We're going to start our first service today with a song entitled, I'll Go Where You Want Me to Go. It may not be on the mountain high or over the stormy sea. It may not be at the battle's front. My Yah will have need of me. But if by still small voice he calls, the path I do not know, I'll answer, dear Yah, with my hand and thought, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Yah, or a mountain, or plain, or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Yah. I'll be what you want me to be. Perhaps today there'll love in place, this Yahshua would have me speak. There may be now in the past a sin, some wonder whom I should see. Oh, Savior, if Thou will be my guide, Though dark and rugged the way, a voice shall echo the message sweet. I'll say what You want me to say. I'll go where You want me to go, dear Yah, or a mountain, a plain, or a sea. I'll say what You want me to say, dear Yah. I'll be what You want me to be. There's surely somewhere a lonely place, in earth's harvest field so wide, where I may labor through life's short day, for a Yahshua the crucified. So trust in all unto Thy care, I know Thou lovest me. How do Thy will with our hearts and say, I'll be what You want me to be. I'll go where You want me to go, dear Yah, what a mountain or plain or sea. I'll say what You want me to say, dear Yah. I'll be what You want me to be. Part 7, we're in this here Mount Zion, 11th hour, track number 8 of E.T. Harlow. We're just going to take off where we left off yesterday, where it says, the covenant and the antitype. Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Now, according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand. Okay. Actually, I need to back up a little bit here. It says, awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and unclean. Shake thyself in the dust, arise and sit down on thy throne, O Jerusalem. loose thyself from the man wrought bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus saith Yahweh, you have sold yourselves for naught, and you shall be redeemed without money. For thus saith Yahweh Elohim, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what have I here, saith Yahweh, that my people is taken away for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith Yahweh. And my name continually every day is blasphemed. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, they shall know in that day that I am he that does speak. Behold, it is I. Okay, so now, the key word is my name. They're going to know my name. So, the name showed up, the true name of Yahshua and Yahweh showed up in 1970 at Gilead Center. And so that was that would be a sign there that we had arrived at this place where it's time to awake and put on our strength, and O Zion, put on that beautiful garment, O Jerusalem. And the only way you can do that is to be clothed upon with that house from heaven. And we find that in 2 Chronicles chapter 5. It says that you've got to be clothed upon with that house from heaven. And so as we turn and read that, 2 Chronicles chapter 5, I believe in maybe verse 1. Start with verse 1 through 5. I can get to it here. It says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of Yahweh and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. For in this we've grown earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, and not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up in life. Now, what's the reason for restoring the sanctuary system? The number one reason is this is how you obtain eternal life, with a full knowledge of the workings of the sanctuary system and the antitype. It's the only way that you can obtain unto life eternal. And so, that as I was reading here, it says, awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem. So the beautiful garments, because when you put the beautiful garments on, then you're going to have another name given to you. You're going to be called the Holy City. And then you're going to be called by His name, His new name. Now, it says there in Zephaniah's prophecy, and it's Zephaniah 3:12. It says, then will I turn unto the people a pure language in these last days. It says, Zephaniah 3:8-9, it says, therefore wait ye upon me, saith Yahshua, or the Yahweh, unto Yahweh, until the day that I rise up unto the prey, for my determination is to gather the nation, that I may assemble the kingdoms that pour on them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured of the fire of my jealousy. So there's a restoration promised here now. It says, for then will I turn unto the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Yahshua and Yahweh, the Father, to serve him with one consent. So it's talking about one particular one. And so, since Yahshua is the prominent figure here that has come back to be in a present in the body among his people, then they're gonna know his name. And when they know his name, they're gonna call upon it. And those that are sanctified by the sanctuary system that allow themselves to be clothed upon with that house from heaven, as we read there in 2 Chronicles, chapter 5, verse 1 through 5. So it says here in Zephaniah chapter 3, it says verse 10. Now let's read that verse 9 again. For then will I turn unto the people of pure language, that they may call all, that they may all call upon the name of the Yahshua to serve him with one consent. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my suppliants, even the daughter of my dispersed, shall bring mine offering. In that day shalt thou not be ashamed for all thy doings, wherein thou hast transgressed against me. For then I will take away out of the midst of thee them that rejoice in thy pride, and thou shalt no more be haughty because of my holy mountain. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Yahshua. There it is right there. For the remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies. Neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Okay, so now when it says, for the remnant of Israel, well, Adventist says, we're the remnant. And if you go to the Adventist church, and that's all you knew was Adventist, back when I was a kid, you always heard this from everybody that had anything to say on who we were as a people. They always say, well, we're the remnant. We're the remnant. Well, then when Mount Carmel came on the scene, the Shepherd Rod, they said, well, we're the remnant that came out of the Adventist church. And when Brother Johnson came on the scene with the Gilead Center in 1970 with the Isaac Branch message, he said, well, we're definitely the remnant of the Adventist church. And then when the Gilead Center was closing down and coming to its end, what happened to that remnant that Brother Johnson is claiming that we as a whole were the remnant? Well, it come down to three people that actually was representative of the remnant at Gilead Center in 2002. They only come down to three people being signaled out and recognized as the remnant. So that's what it's talking about here. It's when it says the remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity. Well, this is the only remnant of Israel that appeared in 2002 at Kermit, Texas, at Gilead Center. This is the only remnant that develops into bringing forth the 144,000, but they have to be purified before they can bring forth the 144,000. This house of David, this remnant, this wave sheaf offering, this is your remnant. Now, this is where the rub comes in. Because Adventists say, well, Brother Johnson would say, well, we're going to bring forth the 144,000 because we're the remnant. And V.T. Holland, he says, well, we're the remnant. We're going to bring forth the 144,000. And he attempted very largely to do that in 1950. V.T. Holland says, yeah, because we are the remnant. We're going to bring forth this 144,000. Well, it failed because it wasn't time for it. And then Ben Roden says, well, I'm the remnant. I succeeded V.T. Holliff after he died. The Rodenites now, the camp of Roden. New Mount Carmel, he called it. He said, we got the branch masses. We're the remnant. And the 144,000 are going to come to us. We're the house of David. I'm the king, antithetical King David. We're the remnant. Brother Johnson comes along and says, no, you're not. I'm the remnant that came out of you. I came out of God. And then I come along in 2010, I says, no, you're not the remnant either, Brother Johnson, because you're in the 11th hour. You're bringing a close of the 11th hour. The remnant comes forth at the end of the 11th hour, and it's the one that announces the new name, Yahshua, and abides by it, and Yahweh the Father. Brother Johnson, by the virtue of the fact that he never would acknowledge Yahweh's name and Yahshua's name by itself. And when he did, he always pronounced it wrong, he spelled it wrong, but he would never use it just by itself necessarily. Once in a while he might use it by itself, but he'd always refer to that Baal title, the Baal, which is Lord and God and Jesus. He would refer to those titles just predominantly most all the time. So we know that he wasn't the remnant. We know that Gilead Center was not the remnant, but it produced a remnant. Alright? So it says this remnant that it produces, and verse 13 of Zephaniah 3, it says this: the remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity. So whenever they finally bring forth the 144,000, we know that that's the last of the remnant of the Adventist Church, is 144,000. That's the ones that make up the whole house of Israel purified as the remnant. Now they're the ones that can truly say we are the remnant once they come forth. Okay, so it says, so that remnant, you go find, and now it says, the remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, nor shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Alright? So we have Revelation 14 bearing this out, this remnant, about having no John the Revelator comes along. He concurs now with Zephaniah. He says this remnant don't have any guile in their mouth. So it says in Revelation 14:1, it says, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the mountain Sinai, and with him 144,000 having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts, and the elders, and no man could learn that song, but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb, whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto Yahweh and unto the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile. But they are without fault before the throne of Yahweh. So the first fruits are the true identifiable remnant. The first fruits are 144,000, and it says right here, and there's no guile in their mouth. And so it says the same thing here in Zephaniah 3, in so many words. It says that the remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. And then it says in verse 14 of Zephaniah 3, it says, sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. For the Yahshua hath taken away thy judgments, he hath cast out thine enemy. There it is. When did he do this? 2002, starting at the Passover, 2002, this met its fulfillment. The King of Israel, even the Yahshua, is in the midst of thee. Now, thou shalt not see evil anymore. Okay, so we no longer have to look at the evil that was presiding over us and the healthy Assyrian yoke over our head. We no longer have to see that evil anymore. Once he took it away, the remnant of Israel to then flee away, get out of there, go into a place that Yahshua, which is in the midst of them, their king, and he brought us to this fair land where we're at right now. Because it says there in verse 16 of Zephaniah 3, in that day it shall be said unto Yahrushalayim, fear thou not, and unto Zion let not thy hands be slack. For the Yahshua thy Elohim the verb that's not in there, I'm going to put it in there and complete this meaning of this phrase. For the Yahshua thy king is in the midst of thee, in the midst of thee is mighty. Okay, I didn't have to put the verb after all. For the Yahshua thy Savior or King or Redeemer in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. Okay. Yeah, he will joy over thee with singing. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly. Who are of thee to unto whom the reproach of it was a burden? Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halted, and gather her that was driven out, and I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. At that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth, when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Yahweh. Okay, let's go back to our study now. It says, awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments, O Yahweh, from the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised man king. Shake thyself from the dust, arise, sit down on thy throne, O Yahrushalayim. Loose thyself from the man wrought bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus saith the Yahshua, you have sold yourselves for naught, and you shall be redeemed without money. For thus saith the Yahshua Messiah, or Yahweh Elohim, the Father, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there. And the Syrian oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what have I here, saith Yahweh, that my people is taken away for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith Yahweh, and my name continually every day is blasphemed. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that thus speak. Behold, it is I. Okay. That says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that brings good tidings, that publishes peace, that brings good tidings of good, that publishes salvation. That saith unto Zion, thy Elohim reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, but the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Yahshua shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy, sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Yahshua hath comforted his people, he hath redeemed Jerusalem, Yahshua hath made bare his holy arm. And the eyes of all the nations and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our Elohim. Depart ye, go you out from offense, touch no unclean thing, go you out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of Yahweh, for ye shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight, for the Yahshua will go before you, and the Elohim of Israel shall be your reward. So, as Yahshua went with Moses down into Egypt to lead the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, about 1500 B.C., so likewise, he's telling the remnant today says, "Depart ye, depart ye, go out, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessel of the other. For ye shall not go out with haste, nor go by fight. For Yahshua will go before you, and the Yahshua of Israel will be your reward." So Yahshua is saying, you don't have to go out by haste, because you're not going by yourself. I'm calling you out, and I'm leading the way. So when he called us out of Kermit there at the, in 2002, he called us out, and then we stayed in, another 6 months before he let us out of the town of Kermit. We stayed right there, lived right across the street in the church, and watched him go in and out of the church every day for 6 months, worshiping. And we worshiped across the street in my house, those of us that came out from her. And then we did that for until the second Passover of 2003. And we did that from July the 27th, 2002, when I left the church forever, until about April the 25th of 2003. That's how long we stayed on there at Kermit before Yahshua took us by the hand and led us out of Kermit. So from whatever it was, July, you had 6 months to January, and so you had about we stayed on another eight or nine months before he led us out of Kermit. After he called us out of the church in Kermit, we had to stay right there for another 8 or 9 months until he led us out of there, out of the city. First he led us out of the church, and then he helped us to close down our homes and businesses, and then he took us by the hand and led us out of the city. And he led us right here to where we're at today. So he said, don't go in haste, don't get this. Just because you kicked out of the church, he said, you don't have to go pack your stuff and leave the next day. Just stay until because I'm in the midst of you, and I'm going to go before you. So don't run off without me, in other words. That's the way they were down in Egypt. Yahshua and Moses let them out. Likewise today. So when it says, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high." Now this is talking about this antiquity Elijah. "As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men." Okay. So at that time, it's talking about Yahshua being the servant, Yahweh's direct servant. But when Yahshua comes and chooses his servant to represent him, then this information transfers right on to Yahshua's servant. And that's really what he's saying right here. "My servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high." Well, we know that this antithetical house of David and the 144,000, that's the remnant of Israel today, are going to be highly exalted and extolled. He said he's going to be exalted above all the mountains. This here little stone, here on Mount Gahan. So this first stone about, "As many as were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider." Isaiah 52, 1-15. "Seeing ourselves on the brink of eternity, we are impelled to join the elder James White in his enraptured exclamation, Oh glory, hallelujah, my poor heart is set on fire for the kingdom. While I dwell on this sweet prospect before the true believer, if we hold fast but a few days more, dark shades of night will vanish, before the glory of the preparatory scenes of the coming of the Son of Man. A Great Little Flock, page 8. And this is Ellen G. White's husband talking about this. In his day, back in their day, he said, oh, seeing ourselves on the brink of eternity, and we are impelled to join with Elder James White in his enraptured exclamation, oh, glory, hallelujah, my heart is set on fire for the kingdom. Now, that's what we are to be carrying on that same sentiment today. Only those who have a part in this antitypical Exodus movement will be privileged to sing the song of Moses and the Lamb and to share in the promises of the covenant and the antitype. Well, this is wonderful, wonderful news, because we believe that we are the so-called according to his purpose at this time, and that this covenant has been renewed with us. This everlasting covenant has been renewed with the house of David here in the 12th parabolic hour, and certainly will be renewed with everybody that is harvested now to come into to the kingdom one by one, and one group after another. And the first group we're looking forward is 144,000, and then every group in their order, as they're pointed out in the parable of Matthew 20. You got to start with the last first, and then you go right down the line and clear, so you get back to the Garden of Eden. So we got 6,000 years of retracing our steps, going backward, giving everybody that has their name in the Lamb's Book of Life their reward. And that has to be done here in this 12th parabolic hour that we're in now, while we're still in probationary time. And no doubt Yahshua is going to be here furnishing us with the information that we need to understand the prophecies as they unfold, for the pointing out of who these lively groups are that are to come forth in their time. And so I'm looking at this here Haggai, the book of Haggai. It's the next book after Zephaniah. And in my Bible here it says, Haggai is called to rebuild the temple. Well, this is a call to antitypical Elijah. He's the one that is restored and given the commission responsibility to rebuild the temple in the last days. And so we're going to deal with this Haggai prophecy in our next study. We want to take the whole hour to deal with that, because we're going to show you how world events are tying in with Bible prophecy as well to help us in this rebuilding. And we got an antitypical worldly man named Donald Trump that represents antitypical Cyrus. And his vice president, no doubt, represents antitypical Darius. And these two, the whole theme is, we're going to restore and make America great again. We're going to restore her greater than she ever was. Well, the man has high aspirations and dreams, and he's already proven that he has the ability and the capability to do this thing. He's already proven this for the and this man is 70 years old, and he spent at least 50 years in proving that you dream big and that you can accomplish your dreams and fulfill them, and you just have to put in the work effort to do it. And he's already proved this by his lifestyle, so he has at least a 50-year legacy behind him. And so we don't, and the world don't have any doubt that this man will do what he says. And he just finished his convention last night on the 22nd of July, and he laid out his overall plan for accomplishing this. And it says the whole world actually believes that he can do it and will do it, and so they're placing their confidence in him, and they're putting their money where their mouth is. They're putting up money by the millions of dollars every day to help this man accomplish what he is And he's got a history. He's got a history of always doing what he says he's going to do. If he may, if he's told you he's going to do something, he's always done it. He's never failed to do what he says he's going to do. Now that's why we have also a more sure word of prophecy that we do what we take to, because prophecy will exactly fulfill the way it says it will fulfill. Okay, let's get back now to our study. We're on page 77 of Mount Zion, the 11th hour, track 8 of Itihada. We're in the, with the subtitle of the covenant and the holy type, and the antitype. Now it says, behold, the days come, saith the Yahweh, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according unto the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith Yahweh. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith Yahweh. I will put my law in their inward parts, and write in their hearts, and will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Yahweh, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith Yahweh. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Jeremiah 31:31-34. For the old covenant, our agreement between Yahweh and his people was based upon the promises of both parties. To witness, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Yahweh the Elohim, to observe and to do all his commandments, which he commanded thee this day, that the Yahweh thy Elohim will sit thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of Yahweh the Elohim. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy labor, of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Yahweh shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, and flee before thee seven ways. Yahweh shall command the blessing upon thee and thy storehouses, and all that thou settest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Yahweh thy Elohim giveth thee. The Yahweh shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, and as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Yahweh thy Elohim, and walk in his ways. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Yahweh has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Yahweh, Deuteronomy 28:1-9, Exodus 19:8. This first covenant reaches from the time it was ordained to the imminent and final end gathering of the 12 tribes as a kingdom, and yet, though never invalidated, negated by the New Testament church, and its sanctity violated by both the Old and the New Testament churches until this very day, so as the people, failing their promise, having broken Elohim's commandments, they thereby also have broken the covenant that Yahweh made with their fathers. But in the New Testament, which the Yahweh is now about to fulfill, the commandments of Elohim, Exodus 20:1-17, unlike in the Old, will not be written on tables of stone, Exodus 31:18, but in the flesh the tables of the heart, and at that time all shall know the Yahweh, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, Jeremiah 31:34, exhibiting the church without terror. This compact, which is about to take place in the second covenant, and his law being written on the heart, will be perfectly kept. Then and not before will the blessings which his ancient people failed to receive be fully realized. Jeremiah also bearing witness that this promised covenant has not yet been fulfilled, but that it is to be honored now in the gathering time, declared, "Thus speaketh the Yeshua Messiah of Israel, saying, Write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. For lo, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith Yahweh, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave unto their fathers, and they shall possess it." Jeremiah 30:2-3. These verses show vividly that Elohim is to validate the second covenant when he brings his people again from their captivity, while subsequent verses fix the time of this liberation or ingathering. "For it shall come to pass in that day, saith Yahweh of the host, Yahshua the host, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him, but they shall serve the Yahshua their Savior, and David their King, whom I will raise up unto them." Jeremiah 30:8-9. Now you see this right here? It says, "But they shall serve Yahshua their Savior, and David their King, whom I will raise up unto them." Now who is he going to raise up unto the people? You would think that all he's talking about is David their King here, but he says no. He said he's going to raise up his son also, Yahshua their Savior. Going to raise him up a second time. He was raised up the first time 2,000 years ago when he died, went and was buried, and then he died and was resurrected. Okay. And so he met with his disciples on his first resurrection. Okay. He was crucified again a second time by yours truly, the angel of the seventh candlestick of Kermit, Texas, 2002. At the Passover, he's crucified again a second time in the person of his people. And guess what? Yahweh the Father again raises his son up through the word of the prophecy of and said for Elijah. And what does he say, Elijah point up? Again, he's going to meet with his disciples, 144,000. They're the descendants of the 12 apostles that he met with after he resurrected. Well, actually, he met with 11. He met with 12. Had Matthias there until he chose Paul 3.5 years later to fill Matthias' place. That rounded out the 12 apostles. And nevertheless, the 144,000 are the antitype of the original 12 patriarchs, the sons of Jacob, and then the 12 apostles, the 144,000. And isn't this amazing? We have 144. 12 times 2 is 24. Okay. 2 times 12 is 24. 12 times 12 is 144. All right, now it says they're going to serve the Yahshua their Savior and David their King. But actually, it has David their King, comma, whom, and this whom is a pronoun, which he's actually referring to David. Because he's already raised up Yahshua. He's already raised him up the first time. But he shows the parallel in him being crucified at first, fulfilled in Revelation 11, the two witnesses crucified at first, which represents the Old and New Testament, the word of Yahshua, and the word. So actually what they were doing was they had crucified Yahshua. The second time, the world has crucified him by trying to destroy his word. The two witnesses represent Revelation 11 and the two olive trees in Zechariah 4. They're one and the same. They represent one and the same. All right. This prophecy, we observe, did not meet its fulfillment in the return of the Jews from their captivity in the ancient Babylon. Because at that time Elohim did not raise up David, their king. They did not, in fact, have any king of their own, but were under the Medo-Persian rule. For the prophecy, therefore, can be applied unto no other time than today, when both Israel and Judah shall be joined into one great kingdom, establishing in the everlasting righteousness. Then they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, says Yahshua. Consequently, the fact that there has never been a time from the day that this scripture was written, even to the present day, that every one of the Elohim's people, as a church or a nation, has known the Yahshua and kept his commandment, again prove that the fulfillment of the second covenant, of which the Exodus movement was a type, is yet future. How long, it says Yahshua, wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For the Yahshua has created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man. Jeremiah 31:22. This woman must be symbolical, for no one person can possibly encompass another. She must, for this reason, be a symbol of the church, and the man must be the Yahshua, who shall at that time have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, purified the church, Isaiah 4:4. Testimonies, Volume 5, page 80. Then will he be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her, and dwell in the midst of her. Zechariah 2:5-11. Though many variously raise their voices against Elohim's establishing the seed of Israel as a righteous and holy nation free from sin, they shall fail to overthrow the plans of him who giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divide the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Yahshua of hosts is his name. You know, Yahweh is the host of heaven. Now that's the stars are also a host. So Yahweh is the Yahweh of the host is his name. Yahshua is a co-creator with him. So when Yahshua appeared with him in the Garden of Eden in the first week of creation, the sun, the moon, the stars were created on the fourth day. Now this is interesting. So how long do you think heaven was in creation before he created this earth? You know something? It could very well be that he created the heaven, the earth, the same way he created the heaven. He created the heavens in seven, the heaven that he lives in 7 days. That could very well be. He created, for instance, he created Yasir, his first creation. And then he created Lucifer and all the angels. But he was the light of heaven. He and his son were the light of heaven, because he hadn't created the sun, the moon, and the stars yet. He only created the sun, the moon, and the stars when he came down here and upon the deep. And darkness was up on the face of the deep, and he spoke, and the world appeared. And then he started his creation on the first day here. And then on the fourth day, he created the sun, the moon, and the stars. And then on the seventh day, he rested from all of his labors, making 7 days. And creation is completed. Well, the sun comes up on the eighth day on a creation of this world. Got a whole new world revolving now around the sun. It's amazing. First 3 days of creation on this earth, Yahweh the Father brought his light with him. In the sun, their light. That's what was the light the first 3 days of creation was. That was the light of the Father and the Son. That was what lighted up what they were doing. And then the fourth day, they had the lights from the heavens. Okay. Let's go continue to read. Though many variously raise their voices against Elohim establishing the seed of Israel as a righteous and holy nation, free from sinners, they shall fail to overthrow the plans of Him who giveth the sun for a light by day and the ordinances of the moon and the stars for a light by night, which divide the sea when the waves thereof roar. Yahshua's host is His name. Okay, we read that. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith Yahshua, then... Or let's just say the Yahweh. Let's just say Yahweh is the father of the host here. The seed of Israel shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus saith Yahweh, if the heaven above can be measured in the foundations of the earth, searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith Yahweh. Jeremiah 31:35-37. As the promises are made only unto Israel, the seed of Abraham, the original vine which has been trodden down, this vine must therefore be raised up, then the penitent Gentiles, by virtue of the adoption in the Asher, shall be grafted into it, and only thus become of the planting of the Yahweh. I say then, hath Elohim cast away his people, Elohim forbid it, for I also am an Israel of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Elohim hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. Was it not what the scripture said of Elias? That's he's talking about Elijah. How he maketh the intercession unto Yahweh against Israel, saying, Yahweh, they have kill thy prophets and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of Elohim unto him? I have reserved unto myself 7,000 which have not bowed the knee to Baal, to the image of Baal. Okay, so this talks about the 144,000. In our day, that's what the 7 equates into, complete number. So it's 144,000 a day is the one that he's reserved today out of the Adventist church that hadn't bowed the knee to the image of Baal. So all the rest of the Adventists and the Davidians have bowed the knee to Baal. If they don't show up at the 144,000 to be sealed with them, then they were the ones that was left behind, separated from the remnant, and have bowed the knee to Baal. Even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is it no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, Elohim hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, unto this day. And David saith, let the table be made a snare and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Elohim forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles. Now who's the antitype of this? The Adventist Church. And who brought up the final closing of the gospel for the Adventists? Brother Johnson, the Anglo 7th Candlestick, 2002. So by the fall of Gilead Center, that's the culmination of the complete fall of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And that's the reason why now we are looking for the first fruits, this remnant, just that he's reserved, and then the Gentiles follow. For to provoke them to jealousy now, if the fall of them, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? And their fullness then would be the 144,000 coming forth out of her ranks. For I speak unto you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office, that by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are of my flesh, and might save some of them. Talking about the Jews. For if to cast in the way of them, the Jews, so if to cast in the way of the spiritual Israel today, Gilead Center representing the Adventist Church and the Davidian world as a whole, be the reconcile, if to cast in them away be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? So, if by any chance a few of them can filter on through and down and trickle down to us, that they can come through and be saved, well then that's all the more a good reason for bringing the antitype of this process again, once again. For if the first fruits, the Jews, the Jew be holy, the lump, Jew and Gentiles is also holy. And if the root, the Jew, of the tribe of Judah, be holy, so are the branches. Whether they be original or grafted in. And if some of the branches be broken off, and then being a wild olive tree, the Gentile tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the good olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou, a Gentile, bearest not the root, but the root, the Jew, thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if the Elohim spared not the natural branches, the unbelieving Jews, take heed lest ye also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of Elohim on them which fell severity, but toward thee a goodness if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt also be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, they shall be grafted in. So, there's a period then. There's a grace period. That's what we were talking about grace earlier. Those are at Gilead Center. If there is a grace period, we're in it right now. And seeing how they didn't prove to be to be harvested the first fruits, they might be able, if they come on and believe again, they might be able to be grafted in. For Yahweh is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these which be the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? Okay. So those natural branches would be the house of Israel, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, the Davidians. That you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your home conceit, that blindness in part has happened unto Israel, until the fullness of Gentiles be come in. So what's going to bring the fullness of the Gentiles? That have blindness in part to Israel first. All right, this brings the third verse that this our contact us at the 11th hour call, and we'll close now with a song. Okay, lead me to the rock that is high and high, by Elijah Davis.
Oh yes, lead me to the mansions in the sky.